The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to November of 1985.
Really? Oh, boy. And the University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors and their guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us and a return visit from a very special guest. On my right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Tickled pink to be here, Ed.
Good to have you here. On his right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's nice to be here, Ed.
It's nice to have you here. On Mary Jo's right, from the School of Education and Human Services and Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Mom. Welcome back, Carl.
Thank you.
And that's right, sitting right next to Wallace from station WQRS, Mr. Carl Grapentine.
Hardly seems like a week since we did this.
Amazing, I'll tell you.
Time does fly, doesn't it?
Sure does.
It flies when you're having fun.
Yes.
Well, now that we've had all the introductions, I guess we can go on to the question.
Now, I should also mention that Carl, of course, for many of our listeners who already know this, is also the regular voice of the University of Michigan Marching Band.
Take the field.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the first question?
No, we haven't introduced our last panelist here.
Oh.
On Carl's right, my
certainly
left.
Certainly not least.
From Oakland University to the north, the Department of Political Science there, Professor John Klemanski.
Hi, Ed.
Hi,
it's John. Nice to be here.
It's nice
finally.
To
and it's nice to have you here, too.
Thanks, yes. Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Well, panel, our first set of questions are the end of the questions from Nadine Mumau. We have all decided today that it is Mumau. Someone suggested Merman, and it looked like Merman for a while, but Nadine, whatever your last name is, of Monroe, Michigan.
Our
Nadine,
graphologist
why can't
has
you
decided.
Be true, Nadine. Yeah.
Yes.
As
yes.
Chuck Berry said it.
And we were near the end of some
say Nadine.
Questions here.
Oh, it's Maybelline.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he has a song, Nadine, too. Doesn't he, Carl?
How would
Emily
he know?
Brothers?
Wake up, little Nadine.
All right. What is the root of all evil?
The money.
Love of money.
Right, the love of money.
Money itself is not
evil.
No, no.
Money's fine.
Yeah, money's
fine.
That's
right.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. What does the horned toad squirt from its eyes when it's angry?
Tears.
Tears of rage.
No.
Some saline solution.
No.
Ink.
Tobacco.
Tobacco
nope.
juice.
Nope.
Tobacco juice
blood.
From a frog.
Blood.
Mm.
That's right.
Ooh.
Blood. Yuck.
Oh. Kind of yucky, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like something in a movie Wallace would watch.
In life.
In life.
Hence the term bloodshot.
Yes. Yeah, right. Bloodshot eyes. Yeah.
What letter appears on the cold water tap in Spain?
F.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that.
What does F stand for?
Frio, I think, something like that, which is, means cold, of course, in Spanish. If you would have said Spanish, we would have gotten half, but I don't
quite. You haven't forgiven him for that.
What are the 12 signs of the zodiac in order?
In order from what?
From which way?
Well, we can start with
yeah,
Virgo.
Right. Yeah, start anywhere you want to start.
Virgo, yes, that's all.
I mean, I'll just take the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, Virgo.
Virgo.
Aquarius.
Libra.
Aquarius. Libra.
Aquarius.
Gemini.
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 Taurus.
Taurus.
Cancer.
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Leo.
Leo.
Aries.
Scorpio.
Capricorn.
Scorpio.
Scorpio. One more.
Pisces.
Pisces.
There we go.
There
and there's
are.
One more, isn't there?
Hey, we did that.
But there are only 12 commands.
Yes.
Check your fingers again.
Yeah. <Very good.
laughs> I am glad you're here, Carl. I've been needing help.
What are the 12 symbols for the signs of the zodiac?
12 again?
Okay, a
in
fish
order?
Is for Pisces.
That's right.
And a scale is for Gemini.
Libra.
Oh, Libra.
Twins
Libra.
For Gemini.
That's
twins
right.
For Gemini. The
unless you put
bear,
twins on a
right.
scale to weigh them or something.
I guess you have to sometimes because they're so little.
See if they're
a virgin for Virgo.
That's right.
Leo the lion.
A crab.
Right.
A water bearer for
Cancer
Aquarius.
Cancer is the crab.
A goat for Capricorn.
Yes.
A horse and a guy on a horse with a bow or something for Sagittarius.
That's the archer. Yeah.
Oh, we've already got that?
No.
What are we missing?
Give us the sign.
A ram for Aries.
That's right.
A bull for Taurus.
Taurus.
Yeah.
All right.
What are we missing here?
Scorpio.
Oh, a scorpion.
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 Yeah. That's it. Well, we
what
think...
does it all mean, though?
Yes, what does it all mean? That's right.
Well, it can mean $10 if you want to go into sign reading, and you can make a lot of
money. Or it'll occupy your time on a Friday night at certain bars.
Yeah. Sure.
What's your sign?
Doesn't your wife do this kind of stuff, or is that only?
Not, she stays home on Friday night.
I don't mean the bars.
Oh.
I was going to say that's rather personal.
Really, I know. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry about that. Yeah. Well, we thank Nadine.
Which bars?
We're sorry she didn't stump the panel, but those were good questions, and we had fun with them. And
send in some more questions,
Nadine. Almost as much fun as with her name.
That's right.
Yes, type those questions next time. And your,
or at
your
least
name
type
too.
Your name.
Thank you very much, and I hope to hear from you again.
Yeah, we hope we got the name right, too.
Yes, we do. We really do. Our next set of questions comes from Pat McGee of Chatham, Ontario.
Mm. We've become international.
Yes. South of the border, as
who
they
begins
like to say.
By saying, hi, Professor Peace.
Boy.
One of Wallace's fans.
Three fans, two in Raleigh and one in Chatham.
Yeah. There we go. Here is my next set of questions on the movies. I have enclosed 30 questions. 20 is passing.
Well, these are obviously, we'll just sit back.
No problem.
Wallace.
Sure. That's right. What was the source of the sand for the concrete that John Wayne left his handprints in at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
The sand of
Iwo Jima.
That's right. That's right.
It's a gravel pit down I-5 there in California.
Okay. What Japanese film was the inspiration for The Magnificent Seven?
The Seven Samurai.
That's right. What did George Raft sport on his shoes in the film Some Like It Hot?
Spats.
That's right. Who were Chris...
Hence the nickname.
Yes.
Lefty.
What's nickname?
George Sand.
Lived in Iwo Jima, didn't he?
But no dogs.
Who were Chris, Vin, O'Reilly, Lee, Britt, Harry, Luck, and Chico?
Probably the Dirty Dozen.
No, but you're getting
these,
there.
How many are there?
The Magnificent Seven.
That's right. Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. What actor starred in the movies House of Crazies and Dementia 2?
Wallace.
Yes, Wallace.
Take it away, Wallace.
I don't know.
English actor.
We're right up
John Sir John Gielgud.
Christopher Lee.
No. He was in the original... The assassination of Marat is performed by the inmates of the movie.
I saw that. That was really dreadful. Yeah.
Patrick McGee. Mm-hmm.
This the guy who wrote these questions?
No.
relative.
It could be. I wonder. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. What city did Duty Cravit serve his apprenticeship in?
Toronto.
No.
No, but it was in
Montreal.
Canada.
That's right. That's right.
Montreal.
I think the film... was actually made mostly in Toronto.
Was it?
That's the confusing thing about it. Yeah. What country was The Mouse That Roared set in?
Bougainvillea or something like that.
No.
A real country?
No.
No, but it was in the middle of Europe, but they spoke English.
Yeah.
It
was like
the Grand Duchy of...
The Grand Duchy
of...
Somebody Stein.
No, it wasn't Stein.
Fenwick. The Grand Duchy, or the Duchy of Grand Fenwick.
That's the Duchy of Grand Fenwick. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. What 1962 film featured Steve McQueen as a fanatical Flying Fortress flyboy?
Steve McQueen? That wasn't Dr. Strangelove.
No.
The Sandpiper.
Mm. I think it was based on a novel by John Hershey. I think.
I saw it.
I'm sure you
do.
Do
we get half credit for that?
Wallace saw it. Give us.
The War Lover.
Yeah.
Come on, Wallace. Get on the stick here.
We gotta do better than that.
Sucks. What journalist narrated the prologue to Around the World in 80 Days?
Lowell Thomas.
The other one.
Walter Winchell.
No. It was the same network as Lowell Thomas.
Edward R. Murrow.
That's right. That's right. What capital city was the 1943 Betty Davis film Watch on the Rhine set in?
Berlin.
Nope.
Was it in Germany?
Nope.
Brussels.
Wrong part of the world.
Watch on the Rhine.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the East.
Albany. Salzburg.
It was in the United States, I'll tell you.
New York.
Nope.
Raleigh.
It was between New York and Raleigh.
Washington, D.C.
That's right, Washington, D.C.
And it was called Watch on the Rhine.
Yes.
That sounds like, that's so logical. It sounds like something I should have seen.
You probably have, as Paul Lucas was in it. I think Lillian Hellman wrote it, didn't she?
Yeah, it was on before 2 a.m., though, so you probably missed it.
I probably did not see it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What European country and African colony were the settings for the nun story?
France and...
No, not France.
England
Belgium.
And...
Belgium.
Belgium and...
The Congo.
Belgium, Congo,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What film soundtrack has sold the most LPs?
Saturday Night Fever.
No.
Help.
That's a
Sound
good guess,
music?
Though.
No, it's earlier than that.
Help.
Nope.
It wasn't the Beatles?
It wasn't even a musical.
Victory at Sea.
No. It's before Victory at Sea.
The Wizard of Oz.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind. Who portrayed Vernon Pinkley in The Dirty Dozen?
Vernon Pinkley?
Where should we start? Lee Marvin?
No.
To tell us about it.
No, it was he's an American. Well, he's a Canadian actor who did some apprenticeship in England. Was married for a while to the daughter of the head of the Social Democratic Party in Canada.
You're kidding.
You're not certain. And Klemanski, as a
political
scientist, you should have gotten this question.
The original film of MASH.
Oh, Donald Sutherland.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he is
That's
Canadian.
Right. Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was he married to?
The daughter of one of the socialist leaders.
Who was the head of the SDP in Canada for a while? And I've forgotten, but his daughter was married to Sutherland for several years. What planet was the sci-fi thriller Planet of Blood set on?
Blood?
Mars.
Mars, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that good a movie, actually.
You're kidding.
That wasn't the one with Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh, no, that was Queen of Outer Space.
Oh, I see.
I heard she abdicated.
Whew, that was a bad one.
What film teamed George C. Scott and Stacy Keach as a couple of cops?
Yeah, because I think George C. Scott killed himself
at the end of it. That's right.
The Blue...
Night.
No. It's the same author, though.
Oh, Centurion.
Centurion.
That's right.
Yes.
Joseph mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Always uplifting.
Who played the two roles in the 1937 film The Prisoner of Zenda?
1932?
1937.
Louis Hayward?
No. It's a good one, though. British actor, mustache, eventually got an Academy Award in the 40s for A Double Life. In which he played a Shakespearean actor going nuts over his wife's infidelity while he was playing Othello.
Mm.
And
Lionel Barrymore.
No, not Lionel Barrymore.
Oh, John Barrymore.
Was also in Lost Horizon.
Lionel Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Who portrayed Jane, the pregnant French girl, in the L-shaped room?
Hmm.
One time married to Peter Hall. Director of English National Theater.
Mm.
Narrows it a bit.
Played Gigi.
Leslie Caron.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
A delightful woman.
Does anybody ever notice that every woman Peter Hall marries looks like Leslie Caron?
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of people.
Sure does.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
He marries a lot of them. But they
Yes, he does, yeah. Yes. What was Louis B. Mayer referring to when he said, "It's a plague and a curse, and I won't have any of our people working on it"?
Some movie, right?
Nope.
The Union.
Nope.
The United Foundation.
No. No, it was a new media invention.
TV.
That's right. Who played Zapata, Mark Antony, and Napoleon?
All in the same movie.
Well, Abbott and Costello
you
meet.
Can tell
Brando. Brando.
Marlon Brando. Let's take a little break at this point.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from November of 1985. We're pleased to bring you these special programs throughout the summer months and invite you to join the current panel of UDM professors. We'll be back in the studio with brand new shows this fall. But for now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor show from November of 1985.
All right, we are back with our questions from Pat McGee of Chatham, Ontario. I think that's who we are. Yes, Pat McGee from Chatham, Ontario. On movies.
Okay.
Next question. What was the first color film to win the Best Picture Oscar?
In the 50s,
no,
40s,
40s, 30s.
Late 30s. Ooh, Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, that's right.
It was in color.
Yes, it was that, yeah.
And it won an
Touched
Oscar.
Touched up a little bit, yeah.
What Canadian city seconded for New York City in the shooting of the movie Network? I should say. Toronto. That's right. It's a Canadian city that always pretends it's New York in movies. Mm-hmm.
When they want to shoot something about the United States in the 1940s, they go to Toronto.
Or in the 21st century.
Or the 21st century,
other
right.
parts of Toronto, mm-hmm. yes.
Oh, the 21st century,
other
right.
parts of Toronto, mm-hmm. yes. There's this whole TV series, Night Heat, that is supposed to be set in an American city.
And it's in Toronto.
Taped in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. What three songs did Sam sing in Casablanca? He sang three of them.
Sam did? Oh, the Dooley Wilson.
That's right.
As Time Goes By,
As Time Goes By. A great song.
That's right.
And there were two others, weren't there?
Yes, there were two others, yes.
Well, we have one.
Yes. That's a third.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Were they old,
Does
like
the Marseillaise 40s? Count?
No, that doesn't. Paul Henry sang that.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll have to get them. It Had to Be You and Knock on Wood. Mm. Okay, who
Knock
played the...
I thought I Sam and Dave did that.
I didn't see Casablanca.
You...
Right, it was too fine a film.
Yeah.
They were too busy.
I'm
with
sure
that
play it again.
The attack
Sam.
Of the beetle killers or something.
That's not funny.
Who played the evil Sir Guy of Gisborne in The Adventures of Robin Hood, the Errol Flynn version?
Basil Rathbone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What song was
not
played?
Not a nice man.
No. Sir Guy. Terrible.
What song was played over the closing credits of Casablanca?
I didn't see Casablanca.
As Time Goes By.
No.
Knock on Wood.
Well, we've had it before.
Marseillaise.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now that's
beginning
dumb
of a beautiful
luck.
Song.
Yes, the beginning of a beautiful saga. What Hitchcock film opened with an assassination in Morocco?
The Man Rope. Who Knew Too Much.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. Who portrayed Wilmer Cook in The Maltese Falcon?
Was he a big fellow,
no.
a short
Peter
fellow?
Laurie.
No, it wasn't Peter Lorre. Very slight, shriveled up kind of person.
Hmm. John Carradine.
No. No. Slight, shriveled.
Is this a famous actor?
Well, he's become famous over the years for playing the same role over and over again.
Shriveled?
Elisha Cook.
That's right.
Really?
Elisha Cook, yes. That's
very
Must
good.
Be from you, Wallace.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Who made his directorial debut with the 1961 comedy hit The Producers?
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
That's it. And what hotel served the space station in 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Howard Jones. No?
No.
Holiday Inn?
No, it wasn't Holiday Inn, but there was a Howard Johnson's there.
Somewhere there, because they had Smith later.
Yeah.
Like McDonald's or something.
Big hotel chain.
Sheraton.
No, the other one.
That was the most
Hilton. The Producers wasn't 61. It was more like 67.
It was later, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right, yeah. Yes.
And it didn't become a great film until they cut it. Because the first time I saw it, it was very boring. And then the second time, they cut a half an hour out of it. It was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
of course, 2001 needs about 2 hours cut out of it.
You don't like the Blue Danube, huh? Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
What was Humphrey Bogart's middle name? His real middle name.
Does it begin with an S?
No. Think of the first name of the actor who plays Doc in Star Trek.
Who does
good
play Doc?
That was a good clue.
Really, it was.
The real
Forrest.
I can think of
DeForest.
Is
DeForest.
That's right. That's right.
All I can think of is Jim.
He's dead, Jim.
Okay.
DeForest Kelly.
Yes.
Well, that was just a hint. That was not the answer.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Who defended Tyrone Power in the film Witness for the Prosecution? Who played his defense attorney?
Charles Laughton.
That's right. That's right. And that's
actually, I have a confession. That was a guess. I never saw that film.
Oh,
it was far too fine a film.
Yeah. Well, we think
we did it again,
yeah. Mr. McGee. Yeah. But he didn't stump the panel. But send in some more. Those were good.
Sure. We really have got to wake up early in the morning to get me on those movie questions.
Yes.
Goodbye, Mr. McGee.
Our next set of questions comes from. Oh, let me see here. Okay, why not? Paul Murray, our former producer.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
My golly.
Can't shake us loose.
Now from Detroit, Michigan, and he just chumps in with 13 questions
All
here.
Right.
Okay. 10 out of 13 is passing.
Very good.
And they run all over the place.
Which
country possesses the third largest nuclear force?
India.
No.
Pakistan.
Oh, no.
China.
Nope.
England.
France.
France. Yeah.
That's not fair. We had eliminated everything before you said anything, Szymanski.
Yeah. He just waits. I'm here at the right time.
Who was the first baseball player to hit 40 home runs in both the American and National Leagues?
Darrell Evans.
Oh,
that's
our guy, right. Darrell Evans.
Uh-huh. Darrell Evans.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's very good. I was going to say Babe Ruth.
Yes,
he only played stunt. In one league.
Oh, but he hit 40 home
sports
runs.
Sports is
keep those baseball.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, the next one is not about baseball. When did the first crossing of the U.S. by auto take place?
What year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, early 1900s.
19.
Yes, 19.
Was it in the teens?
No, it was before the teens.
Oh, 06.
1907.
Before 1906.
2004.
Just after 1902.
1903.
About that's three.
Right.
Wow. That's pretty early.
It was, yeah. You're going to love this. It was by a Dr. H.M. Jackson of Vermont and his chauffeur.
I wonder who did most of the driving.
Making house calls.
Really.
But I bet the chauffeur's name has been forgotten.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
He was buried en route.
Yeah. What was the first concrete highway in the U.S.?
That was between 6 and 7 Mile Road on Woodward Avenue.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're kidding. Yeah. Here in Detroit?
That's right.
And it's Highland still Park.
Still there, yeah.
And it hasn't been changed. Highland Park. I live in Highland Park.
I came up that way today.
Oh.
They're thinking about repaving.
That's north
soon.
Of Highland Park.
I'm going to have to.
Seems like I can float another bond issue.
Forget it. We're not passing another bond issue there.
All right. Name in order the four most popular things to drink in the U.S., and Mr. Murray means types, you know, categories, not specific.
Water.
Start with water.
No.
Coffee.
Well, that's one of them, but it's not in the right
Coke.
Order.
Coke. I mean, soft drinks.
Soft drinks is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Then milk.
No.
Or water.
Coffee.
Then coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Water's not in here?
No, water's not in here.
Doesn't count, huh?
This is bad.
Then yeah. Milk.
Milk's in the list.
And orange juice.
No.
Beer.
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 And then
orange juice.
No.
Milk.
Milk.
Oh.
That's right. We have an orange juice fixation, Wallace.
Okay, well, let's have all four of them. So
soft drinks, coffee, beer, and milk in mm-hmm. that order.
They must exclude water.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. must. Yeah. Name the only historical figure whose birthday is a legal holiday in all 50 states.
George Washington.
That's right. That's right.
Why?
Because
well,
he was the slave
he was first.
Yeah, there are,
yeah.
There
and
are
he
certain,
was the first one.
There are certain states that don't celebrate Abraham Lincoln's, apparently.
We didn't celebrate it in North Carolina.
I bet you didn't.
But yeah. In my schools, we did.
Yeah. You made sure of that.
We always celebrated
yes,
it there.
Yes. Okay.
Without the blessing of the state.
Yeah, believe it.
Of which were there more in 1984, digital or analog watches, and by how much?
2-1 digital.
No.
No.
3-1 analog.
4-1 analog.
It's analog.
By 6-1.
No, not that much.
No.
4-1.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how this would work out in terms of...
I don't even know the difference.
You have the raw data there, do you?
Yes, I have a percentage.
It's not in ratio.
I have a, no, I have a percentage.
60-40%.
That's it. 59%, that's close enough.
Well, what is the difference?
I don't know.
Between an analog and a digital?
Analog has
an analog is the,
right.
is the one with the
digital.
Mickey Mouse gloves on
oh,
it.
Analog has hands. Oh, so I've got
digital.
A digital.
That's
you're
right.
In the,
oh, isn't that interesting? I'm
in the minority, as it were.
Then, you get used to it after a while. It doesn't bother you so much.
Okay.
Divine calculates and keeps telephone numbers.
That would be, what, a 3-2?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think so. Mm-hmm.
What is the proper form to refer to the wife of Charles, Prince of Wales?
Diana, Princess of Wales.
Princess of Wales. Just, I thought you weren't supposed to use her name.
You don't oh. use her name. But
Lady Spencer.
Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales.
That's it. Her there Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales.
I'm an Anglophile and a royalist. I even subscribe to Majesty Magazine. Did you know that?
Gosh.
It keeps you in the know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
he celebrates Lincoln's birthday.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And Soldier of Fortune.
Yeah, I read that Majesty magazine at my dentist office.
Oh, is, that right? Is he an Anglophile, too?
Apparently. Mm-hmm.
Who holds the all-time record for the number of errors committed by an outfielder?
Babe Ruth.
Lifetime record?
Yep.
Reggie Jackson?
No, it's earlier than that.
He never committed errors.
It's someone who, another of whose records was just broken this year.
Pete Rose.
Yes.
Oh, Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb. And I wonder who will break Ty Cobb's error record, and will it be celebrated on
We're closing in on that.
Yes.
Did you know, speaking of that, of breaking
records.
You going
to tell us a sports story?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That Cincinnati recently...
This is not credible now, folks.
Cincinnati recently named a street Pete Rose after he broke the record.
Oh, yeah.
But the same city council that named the street Pete Rose Street refused to name a street after Dr. Sabine, who invented the polio vaccine.
So what's the problem?
On the grounds that Sabine was still alive.
How many
and you
hits
don't
did
wanna...
Sabine get?
That's exactly what they said.
Mm-hmm. It's harder to spell.
I guess
that's right.
Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that incredible? Only in America. Who said that?
Yes.
Many of us do.
Only in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Named the first British rock group to have a number one hit in the U.S. and the song that did it.
The Beatles.
No.
The Rolling Stones.
No.
Before that.
1962 was the year.
The Who.
Buddy Holly's group?
No.
The Crickets?
They were from Texas.
The Who was from Texas?
No, no, no.
No, Buddy Holly.
Oh.
I'll have to. It was the Tornadoes. And it was an instrumental.
Telstar.
That's it. Telstar.
Yeah. Okay. Tornado comes through.
Okay.
I was going. I was worried. Come
was
answer, that was your question.
Organ. Did you remember that thing?
Sure.
I love that.
You get extra credit for that.
That's right. You certainly do. What is the only North American marsupial?
North American marsupial.
Right. An armadillo.
They're not marsupial. What's a marsupial?
I know a what do you call them? They're in the water a lot.
Otters?
No. It's
Pisces.
A beaver.
No, they can't. Don't they use their tails or something and have pockets? Isn't that a marsupial?
Yes.
That's why I said a beaver.
No, beavers don't. You have pockets.
They don't.
North America. I mean, native North American.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you know if they are located
like
in Canada?
Well, they used to be located in our attic.
Possums.
Yes. Possums.
Yeah.
The opossum.
Yes. The
opossum. I was in a hurry. I just said possum.
No. He's.
Where is a Jew considered a Gentile?
In Japan.
No. What state in the U.S.?
Oh, Utah.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Mormons.
He's not a saint.
It certainly isn't North Carolina.
No. That's true. Okay. Well, we thank Mr. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stump the panel.
Those are good questions.
But then again, he never did.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, he frustrated us many times.
But he certainly mm-hmm. gave it a good try there.
And he does print.
Do some more.
Oh, nice. Very neat. Good margins.
For some prospective employer, I think that, you know, they should look into Paul because he does a great job.
Yes, of printing. Yes. Yeah. Now, I'd like to thank the panel, Professor O'Neill, Professor Nichols, Professor Peace,
good
Professor
night, Mr. McGee,
and our very special guest, Carl Grapentine from WQRS. Thanks for coming back, Carl.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Most welcome.
Yes, come back again. And now this word.
Send your questions to Ask the Professor, care of the Communication Studies Department at University of Detroit Mercy. 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. Or email them to atp@udmercy.edu. We look forward to reading your questions on Ask the Professor. And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you to join us next time when the current panel of UDM professors return for a brand new season of Ask the Professor.